Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters in by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep." The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, so when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away, and then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Amen. Now there's one person here who is desperately interested to see what I'm going to say at this point, because they know that I've done absolutely no preparation for this evening whatsoever other than choose the songs. I make that confession to you. Revelation is great, but it is taking about 20 to 25 hours a week at the moment to do the morning sermons. And I don't regret that, but it does mean that, especially when I go out to celebrate an 80th birthday on a Sunday afternoon, I neither get my Sunday afternoon nap. But that is not to say I have no thoughts at all. And here in this reading that we heard this evening are two of the seven I am sayings of Jesus. He says, I am the gate and I am the shepherd. But I want to argue that this is one I am saying. You see, what you've got to imagine is a pen. The pen may be old, and the shepherd will every so often care to make sure that the pen is rebuilt and is intact. And the one thing that we might say as we look at the security of the pen is that it's missing one essential feature. And that one essential feature is that there's a hole in the pen. The hole, just about this wide. Well, probably this wide to allow for sheep and lamb. But just wide enough for a sheep to pass through, one at a time. Of course, also just wide enough to let a wolf in. But the gatekeeper, or the watchman, who would usually be one of the shepherds would club together so that some of them could get a good night's sleep, and lots of sheep from different shepherds would be in the pen. And you know how these days sheep are, you know, you see the sheep out on the hillsides, but you hardly ever see a nice pure white sheep. They've usually got some big red mark on, or a big green mark or something, where the farmer has sprayed something indelible onto the wool of the sheep so that he knows which sheep are his. But in the days of Jesus, when the sheep were out on the hillside with the shepherd, he would talk with them. There wasn't nobody else much to talk to. And to be honest, sheep are probably more sensible than men. Anyway. But so that a shepherd could come along, and just like the owner of a dog can say, Fido, come, and Fido will come, and anybody else who says, Fido, come, Fido will stay exactly where he is by the fire. So the sheep. Abram's flock come, and Abram's flock gets up and follows, and the others stay where they are. Because they only recognize the shepherd's voice. And if somebody is in the pen other than one of the shepherds, it must be a thief or a robber. And he won't call the sheep out. He will have an assistant on the outside of the pen and will probably lift them out and give them to the assistant, or may even cut their throats in the pen and pass the body over to throw the carcass off so that he could take it off, because obviously, on the whole, sheep would be stolen to be eaten. But let's go back to the hole, the gap in the pen, where the gatekeeper would sit in the gap. And no sheep could go in, no sheep could go out, and no wolf could go in, or no person could go in, without having to go over the gatekeeper, whose job it was to stay awake and guard the sheep. Seems to me this ties in with what we've been thinking about in Revelation the last couple of weeks, and how there is the promise of protection for the people of God. And when Jesus says, I am the gate, he's saying, I will take care of my own. I'm here to watch over you. I'm here to guide you. I'm here to guard you. I'm the gate. But in saying I'm the gate, he's also saying I'm a good shepherd. Because that's one of the things a good shepherd does. Of course, a good shepherd will take his sheep out into the countryside, out into the fields. He would find still waters so that they can drink. He will find pastures so that they can eat. With his rod and staff, he will sweep out longer grass just to see if there are any poisonous snakes that might attack the flock. If one goes missing, he will seek to find it. I mean, all this is in the biblical parables. It's all there for us, isn't it? Jesus says, what a shepherd is to the sheep, I am for you. I am the very definition of what it is to be a good shepherd. Why do I do this? Well, because, as the NIV says, because I want you to have life to the full. And I somehow, whenever I read that in the NIV, I'm always just slightly disappointed. Life to the full doesn't sound quite as good as life and that abundantly, or abundant life, which sounds so much richer and fuller. But the Greek word is the same. The Greek word is aionios, from which that comes. Aionios means life that has the fullness of God's life. I have come that you may enjoy the same fullness of life that I enjoy with my Father. That's what I've come to give you. And I've not just come to give it you. I want to go on record. I'm willing to lay down my life for my sheep. Like a good shepherd will risk his life sometimes to get the sheep back that's out on the cliff edge in danger. I'm willing to lay down my life so that you can know the fullness of life in the Father. And of course, there's a sadness in what he's saying, because he says, some of you just aren't interested. Some of you who think you belong to the flock just aren't interested in going the shepherd's way. And the enemy just wants you to be stolen, wants you to be killed, wants you to be destroyed. But that's not my purpose. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. I'm not a hired hand. I'm not just somebody who's paid to do it, but it's not really committed. I own the sheep in my flock. They're my livelihood. If the sheep go, I have nothing. Do you hear what Jesus is saying there? If he's not got his people, he's nothing. His people are at the very core of what he's about. That's how much we matter to him. And it's worth remembering as we come up to Palm Sunday and Good Friday and Easter Day. It's good that we should remember that this is one who does not end up on a cross by accident, but one who has said, "Father, if this is your will, I'll do it, because they matter that much to me. We matter that much to him." And not just us. See, Jesus says, "I lay down my life for the sheep, but I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen." He was talking to leaders of the Jewish community, hoping that they would be of the Messianic community, looking for the Messiah to come, looking for him, ready to receive him. But he said, "I've not just come for your lot. I've also come for those among the Gentiles who will follow. I'm their shepherd too. And I'm calling them to follow me." But that's why Dad, Father God, loves me. Because I'm prepared to lay down my life not just for those who are already in the sheepfold, but for those who are still to be called to it. "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." There, it seems, is one of the most important verses of Scripture relating to the passion of our Lord Jesus. He doesn't end up on the cross just because he is weak and meek and mild, and the others are tough politicians who want their way. He doesn't end up on the cross because it's some sort of awful accident. He ends up on the cross because we need one who will die for us to pay the price for our sin, who will put down his life that we might be forgiven. It's not an equation, because the two sides just don't add up to the same thing. How can my life, how can your life, how can the lives of millions be equal to the life of the Son of God himself? But that's what happens. That's what Jesus is saying here. And I think we need to remember this as we come to cheer him on as he enters the gates of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. As we hear that same crowd turn and cry, "Crucify him," on Good Friday. As we see him hang on the cross, as his life flows away, one drop of blood at a time. As he's laid in the tomb. "I have authority to do this. This is no empty gesture, but this means everything in the Godhead. So you need to know it means everything for you." Let's pray.
O Lord. We thank you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his witness. We thank you for his teaching. We thank you for his shepherding, for his caring, for his protection. But most of all, we thank you that here is the shepherd willing to lay down his life for the flock. Help us to begin to understand what this means. Help us begin to understand that through his work, we will have a place with you, Father, in heaven, in your kingdom, assured and certain. And thank you, Lord, that that then gives us the strength and the power and the courage to leave this place and live for you, to declare your good news. We do not have the right to keep it to ourselves. So by your Holy Spirit, give us the strength to share it by every means we can. And we think of all the ways in which the people from this church will be witnessing to you during this week at work, at the gym, in the clubs and societies and sports groups that they belong to, in Take Five and Chat, helping mums with special needs children, in carers and toddlers, in the light group, in the football ministry, and all the different things with which we're involved, Lord. Help us to remember that we stand firm in you, serving one who has promised to lay down his life for us. And we do not have to live in the hope that one day he might do that, but we live in the certainty that he already has done that. So by your Holy Spirit, be real to each of us as we seek to live it out day by day. This is our prayer. In the name of the one who is the gate, because he's the good shepherd. Amen.